You're listening to Charlottesville's Podcasting Network with your host, Dan Gould. Stephen Meeks is president of Albemarle Charlottesville Historical Society. He joins us to talk about the Society's Time Capsule Project. The project is a part of Charlottesville's 250th birthday celebration. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Dan.
Before we begin to talk about the time capsule, I'd like to spend a little bit of time talking about your background, and in particular, how you became associated with ACHS.
Well, my association goes back to my years in high school. Very early on, to my grandparents, took on a very large interest in family history, and especially when I learned that my family had been in Albemarle County six or seven generations. So I wandered down to the Historical Society Library one day to do a little research, and got hooked on the society. Joined as a life member while still in high school, and been there ever since.
Well, you certainly got your value out of that life membership.
That's for sure. I believe it was maybe a year or two after I joined, they did away with the life memberships for a while, and we just recently reinstituted them.
Right.
So I think I got a very good deal.
Excellent. And can you tell us a little bit about the society itself? How did it begin? What's its origin?
It began in 1940. It was, I think, it used to meet up at the Alderman Library and Special Collections, so I think originally there were a lot of academics involved, a lot of librarians associated with Alderman Library, who up to that point had been the sole stewards of some of the historical documents of the county and city, and I think they decided it was probably time to form a historical society, and over time we sort of branched off and established our own library and our own independent collection. And almost 20 years ago, had the opportunity to move into the old McIntyre Library building, where we were able to expand our library presence, and such that today we have a very large research library for genealogists, historians, architects, anybody who has any interest in history.
Excellent. Now, some of our listeners may not know that the Society has a really wonderful website. What can you tell us about the website?
The website, we've had a website, I don't know, 10, 15 years now, but about 5 years ago we redid it to the then current technology. And I must say that with the way things have changed, it may be getting close to time where we need to change it once again. But we've tried to put on it a sampling of some of our holdings. There's no way we can post everything, but there's a sampling of photographs. There's an interactive section with some of historic maps of the county where you can go in and zoom in and out on various areas of the county. We also have a section of the photographs that could be of interest to Charlottesville residents. Many years ago, we were able to acquire a collection from a former professional photographer, Russell Rip Payne. And in his collection, there are lots and lots of wedding photographs, many of which we have no idea who they are. So we have posted some of these images in the hopes that someday somebody might be able to identify family, friends, or even themselves in our collection.
And I understand that I think you have just one paid employee. All this work that you're talking about is done by volunteers. Is that right?
Well, we have a full-time librarian who is actually part of the greater Jefferson Madison Regional Library System. She oversees our collection. But as far as the employee status of the society itself, I actually have two employees, neither of which in their time equal that of one full-time employee. And that's our employees, the status of our employees is just dependent upon our income levels. Because we are a membership-based organization, we don't receive any direct public funding, so whatever we have to operate on comes from memberships and donations. I would very much like to have a larger employee staff, because we have a lot of things we would like to do, and we could very much use additional help, as with probably a lot of nonprofits.
And if someone wants to volunteer to provide their, you know, to help the society reach its goals, how would they go about doing that?
They can either go online. Actually, on a website, you can either volunteer, sign up as a volunteer. You can join the society. You can purchase publications we have available. One of the things that I should have mentioned is that we have published annually since 1940, we call it a magazine of Alamo County history. It's more like a journal of various articles on the history of the city and the county. So all those things can be purchased and looked at online. You can also do it by coming into the society, volunteering, joining the society, purchasing these publications.
And what are the society's hours?
We are open 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. And then the library has additional hours on Saturdays, 10 to 1. And this is all, you know, precluding, you know, any holidays that may come around like we are this time of the year.
Sure, that's great. And we'll post a link to your website as a part of this story. I'd like to move on in a moment to the new Time Capsule project. But before I do, I'd like to talk a little bit about the 1962 Time Capsule that was unearthed earlier this year. What can you tell us about that event?
It was a it took a little bit of sleuthing to determine the location of it. We always had a general idea of where it went based upon some photographic documentation that had taken place by photographers like Ed Roseberry and reporters at the Daily Progress. Unfortunately, they failed to do one thing, and that was to put an X to mark the spot. So, and one of the other things, when the time capsule was put in the ground in 1962, it was placed at what was to become the Charlottesville Circuit Courthouse. And the courthouse was still under construction. So the time capsule was placed ceremonially in the ground, but then it was removed until the completion of the construction of the courthouse. It was placed back in the ground, and a sidewalk was poured over top of it. Over time, due to ADA regulations, they poured another sidewalk over top of that to raise it up to have easy access into one of the doors in the courthouse, so that we ended up with over 12 inches of concrete. We engaged the donated services of a local company in town who has a ground-penetrating radar unit. They were able to confirm that the time capsule was in the ground, or that there was something in the ground where we thought there might be, and they more or less were able to sort of narrow down a spot to dig. So we had to cut through 12 inches of concrete to reach it. And while the time capsule was intact, the contents were not. A vault had been put in the ground and the time capsule placed in it, but the vault had been just poured in place with concrete. And concrete, by its very nature, is not waterproof. So over time, water was still able to sort of migrate through that concrete and wick into the time capsule, thereby damaging the vast majority of the contents.
I understand, though, that a recording, a magnetic recording on magnetic tape, did survive. I think everybody was surprised about that, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, the things that did survive were very surprising. Things like letters that had been written by the mayor, other personal letters, other paper artifacts, such as the program we had that year. One thing that did survive was a special edition of the Daily Progress, and you know, by its very nature, newsprint is not is not an archival material, and that's one thing we thought would have disintegrated, but it survived perfectly intact. The sad thing for us is we already probably have about a dozen copies of it at the society.
Right.
But also there were two audio tapes. I'm no expert on them, but one I think was sort of a poly base, another one sort of an acid tape base. The boxes around them had totally disintegrated. One of the tapes looked totally lost, in my opinion. But we were able to find someone who had the equipment to play them. And lo and behold, the recordings, the audio recordings on both of them were in pristine condition.
Wow. That's
totally surprising.
That's quite remarkable indeed. Now, moving on to the 2012 time capsule, your project, I understand that it will be buried this Sunday.
There is a ceremony Sunday, but actually burial is not the proper term in this case. We are actually enshrining it, which means that we will be placing it inside the McIntyre building, as opposed to burying it in the ground. So we're going to avoid one of the pitfalls of 1962 and keeping it out of the ground, away from water, but yet in a secure location that will be easily identifiable in the future.
And what can you tell us about that? Will the time capsule be surrounded in brick or drywall, or will it be visible to the public? What can you say about its position in the society building?
Well, originally we were thinking about bricking it in, but that was proven to be a little bit more costly than we had anticipated. But it will be sealed in. We have built a special receptacle for it in a portion of the building. Like I said, that it's not generally viewable by the public, but it's very much accessible. So it will be sealed in and marked with an appropriate plaque, so that, like I said, nobody will not know it's not there.
Yeah, that's a great idea, and perhaps the only real true way to beat the water problem.
True. We are taking some other precautions with the contents as well. Previously, all the items had just been placed loosely in the time capsule. This time around, we're archivally sleeving everything so that one item's not will not be touching the other another item. So, it should be no. Adverse effects from one item touching another, no bleed through the inks and that sort of thing. And, in case, it moisture ever did get in it, they will be sealed also in archival Ziploc bags, for example. So we're trying to do everything that should be done as if it was, as if they were part of the collection of the society.
Right. Well, it sounds like you really, really thought this through. What can you tell us about the capsule's contents? Is it a secret, or can you tell us anything about that?
I can sort of give you a general review of what's in it. The capsule is being prepared for the citizens of 2062. So we want to leave a little bit of a surprise for them to figure out, although we do have an itemized listing. There, of course, will be photographs, both in printed form and in various digital formats, hoping that maybe the technology will exist then, just like it did this go around with the audio tapes, to be able to read it. We have letters from elected officials, such as Senator Warner, Congressman Hurt, all the way down to Mayor Hooja, that are all written either to the citizens or their counterparts of 2062. And then there's souvenirs from throughout the year and other artifacts and items that may be of interest. One thing for those people showing up to the ceremony tomorrow, we will have a guest book there. So we will be inviting everybody to sign it to be included in the time capsule. And if they want, they can write themselves a note to be read in 50 years.
Excellent, excellent. And what can you tell us about tomorrow's ceremony itself? It will be held at the Historical Society. Maybe you can tell us where that is and any hints that people should know for when they should arrive or where they should park, that sort of thing.
Okay, the Historical Society is at 200 2nd Street Northeast. We face Lee Park. 2nd Street will actually be closed for the ceremony. The municipal band, Charlottesville Municipal Band, will be there at 1:30 to perform for us. And the official ceremony will begin at 2 o'clock. and it will be outside, and it seems that the weather forecast is going to be halfway decent, and it'll be in the front of the Historical Society, and we will do a ceremonial sealing of the time capsule, and we'll take it inside the building to be followed by a reception for anybody attending. I should also say that a lot of this, I mean, this is the culminating event for Celebrate 250, Charlottesville's 250th anniversary celebration, and this event is actually being sponsored by Charlottesville Tomorrow. So they've been tremendous in their support in helping finance the whole activity for tomorrow. And by their very name, I think it's appropriate they were involved with the time capsule.
And you mentioned that a portion of Second Street is going to be closed. Do you have any suggestions as to where people might want to park when they come for the ceremony?
Parking is, you know, always a difficult thing for downtown Charlottesville, and you know, church services will be letting out, so hopefully parking will be, you know, open up soon after services are over. So, you know, you just have to look for the street parking or go for one of the parking garages.
Right, and I think you're within walking distance of the Market Street Garage, aren't you?
Walking distance of that one, and actually the Water Street Garage, which is the entrance of that is on Second Street, southeast. So it's like 2-3 blocks straight up the hill.
Right,
so I hope them are very convenient.
Right, great. And lastly, Stephen, if this interview should somehow survive for 50 years. Is there anything you would like to say to the Charlottesville residents of 2062?
Well, I would like to think I would survive for 50 years, but that may be stretching it. I guess it's been a pleasure, you know, being the head of the Historical Society these last few years, and also being one of the co-chairs for Celebrate 250. History is very passionate to me, especially local history, and it's really been fun, you know, pulling together exhibits throughout the year to mark Charlottesville's anniversary. And I hope that in, you know, 50 years, if there's another celebration for the 300th, that the people involved with that celebration can equally have as much joy learning the history of the community and sharing the history of the community.
That's great, Stephen. I've been talking with Stephen Meeks, who is president of Albemarle Charlottesville Historical Society, about their 2012 time capsule project. The official burial ceremony is to take place this Sunday at 2 p.m. Stephen, thanks so much for joining us.
Certainly. It's been a pleasure.
For the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, I'm Dan Gould.